Today on Real Life Radio.
If you're a Christian, you follow Jesus. If you're a Christian, you're not going to get whacked out with goober doctrine. If you're a Christian, you're not going to go get involved in a cult. If you're a Christian, you're not going to get lost. Why? Jesus said it. My sheep, they know my voice. I know them. They follow me. How simple is that? Pretty simple.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Real Life. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called The Book of Revelation with a message titled, Jesus Christ is Coming Again. As we move forward in chapter 19 of Revelation, we'll see the return of Jesus Christ to the world. Now, this awesome event is talked about many times in Scripture, including 17 books of the Old Testament, and Jesus himself spoke of his second coming in all four of the Gospels. You see, Jesus details his second coming in the Gospels as it was prophesied in the Old Testament 1,000 years before. The people of Israel will see his coming, and as he moves closer, they'll see his hands that were pierced for our salvation, and his eyes like flames of fire will come to judge and make war on those who rejected him. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that the angels will accompany the Lord at both the rapture of the church and his second coming, an army clothed in white, including those who've been forgiven and united to Christ. Now in his message called Jesus Christ is Coming Again, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. You know that's a statement of fact. If you're a Christian, you follow Jesus. If you're a Christian, you're not going to get whacked out with goober doctrine. If you're a Christian, you're not going to go get involved in a cult. If you're a Christian, you're not going to get lost. Why? Jesus said it. My sheep, they know my voice. I know them. They follow me. How simple is that? Pretty simple. You know, that's pretty cool. Pretty amazing. If you've never seen this, you need to go hang out with some sheep. You need to go watch what they do, especially where there's multiple shepherds around. When there's multiple shepherds, the guy will go, "Hey, hey!" I'm silly. I mean, I'm sure. I'm silly and sure. I know it sounds silly, but when they make their funny little sound, each of them have their unique word. The sheep respond. The sheep can all be all mixed together and they're talking, hey, what's your shepherd like? He's pretty cool. What's your shepherd like? Oh, he's all right. Those two shepherds can be having tea together and one of them could go, okay, well, it's time for me to go, hey, hey! All of his sheep go, let's go! And they follow him. All the other ones are just sitting there, until the other guy goes, yo! And then all of his sheep get up and follow him. And it's wonderful. I've seen this happen. I've actually seen this happen in Chino Hills. Truly. And I've seen this happen in Israel. The funniest thing I've ever seen is my sheep follow my voice. You know, I know them, they follow me. First time in Israel, we're heading towards Jerusalem. And we saw this big Mercedes-Benz pull up. This guy gets out. He was an Arab Bedouin with all of his wrappings, you know, with all the clothing. And he gets out and he opens the back door and about 10 sheep get out of his Mercedes. I'm dead sick. And they're following him down the street. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen. It was hilarious. My sheep follow me, apparently, even in the Mercedes with this guy. It was hilarious. My sheep follow me, Jesus said, John 10:28, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. That's how safe you are, Christian. You should be going nuts over this. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one. Man, that's like you being in a gate, stuck. That's like you being in a clam. The hands of Jesus, the hands of the Father, and you're right in the middle. Safe. God wants his sheep safe. And he doesn't want them walking around going, are you my shepherd? Am I your little lamb? I don't feel like I'm a lamb today. Are you sure you want me to be your shepherd? And I mean your lamb? What's with all the doubt? He says, my sheep know my voice. When he speaks, he says, I know you. Can you say today that the Lord speaks to you and says, I know you, Jack? Hey, when people criticize you and people attack you, you know what? You just need to look and say, Lord, I'm under attack. Is it justified? Is it right? Maybe I deserve it. Maybe I should be attacked. And you listen. And if what you've done brings glory and honor to the Lord and was the right thing to do and you obeyed him, let the attack come. Because he will say to his sheep, I know you, and you followed me in this matter. And listen, if all men speak well of you, then you're not a friend of mine. Stand for righteousness. You're going to be salt, and it's going to rub people the wrong way. But are you doing it for my glory? Yes, Lord. Then you know what? Follow me. Let's go. Let's keep going. It's very encouraging. Listen, not only are we asking the question, are we going to follow him? But listen, are we going to be yielding to the will of God? As a Christian, I need to be willing to yield to the will of God. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 24, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the entire world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Am I willing, in light of all of these things coming upon the earth, and Jesus could come back for the church or for me today, am I willing to take up my cross and follow him? You say, wait a minute, I thought Jesus went to the cross. He did go to the cross. But if I'm a Christian and I'm going to follow him, I will have my cross to bear. Church, listen. The cross to bear that you and I have, it is as different and as diverse as a snowflake. Your cross, though some of ours will be the same, they still differ. What is it in your life that you must bear this cross? Could it be the past that you constantly have to ask God to remove from your memory? You have got to keep doing that. Is it maybe someone who has hurt you and God says, forgive them, and you want to argue with God? They hurt me, they hurt me. Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me. If Jesus says to you, and it could be as diverse as this, if Jesus says to you, I want you to go into that company, I want you to do this thing, I want you to be my witness, I'm asking you to do this, and let's say you don't want to do that, but you know God has spoken to you to do it. You pick up that cross and you follow him. And you be willing to lose your life. And you say, well, is that a physical sacrifice? Well, it could be, but that's not the context. It's something perhaps even more painful. Are you willing to live the rest of your life as a Christian and have me override your will, override your desires, override your commitments, override your plan, Jack, and let me live it through you? That is a disciple. And that's what he asked every one of us this morning, Christian or non-Christian. Will you give me your life? Yielding to the will of God. Also this, am I obedient to what the Lord wants of me? Am I obedient? I need to be obedient to what Christ asks of me. So the application is this. Daily, the Lord grants us opportunities for me to grow under his loving care. These people that will turn on God never would have yielded, never would have been obedient. They want nothing to do with them. Third and final point this morning, Jesus Christ is coming again, and it's ominous. I love that word, ominous. It sounds ominous, ominous. We often see when we say the word ominous as a great cloud is coming and a storm is brewing. Well, it's true. Listen, verses 20 to 21, then the beast was captured. You guys, this is incredibly graphic, and I need some of you to listen carefully, because if you have been involved in the Mormon religion or the Jehovah Witness religion or the New Age movement religion, you need to hear what Jesus says, because it's going to be quite revealing. Then the beast was captured. When Christ comes in the second coming at the end of the Battle of Armageddon, the Antichrist is captured. Okay, now watch this. This great Daniel, the whole book of Daniel is about this guy. The book of Daniel tells you of incredible exploits of this man and his powers. He is somehow captured, with him the false prophet. That's the guy that keeps doing all these miraculous signs in his presence. The religious leader of the world, we'll call it the world church, who works signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast. What's the mark of the beast, everybody? Number what? 666. And those who worshiped his image, his icon, his statue, his altar. By the way, I read an old commentator this weekend, and he said that as we, listen, this could give you goosebumps. This guy wrote this about 90, almost 100 years ago. He said, as we approach the times that precede the second coming of Christ, based upon this verse, you can expect to see people be more bent on idol worship, altar worship, and making sure that every room of every home in those that have rejected Christ at that time, as we approach that time, have an idol or an altar in their homes in all that they do. And why do I bring that up? Because more than ever, we see people with idols in their homes, altars in their homes, in their businesses, burning incense, making presentations to idols, idols that cannot see, idols that cannot hear. We've got an idol in town that stands there. It's just an idol. It's an idol. And you drive by and you go, that's funny. It's not funny. The people that worship that idol, they don't think it's funny. Don't laugh at their idol. It's not nice. It's serious to them. They present their life to that idol. I'm going to get one of these for my garden. That's serious to somebody. Don't make light of it. They bow down to that idol. They worship that thing. That's why Paul the Apostle in Acts chapter 17, it broke his heart to see the idol worship in Athens, Greece. It broke his heart. He says, you've got all these idols and you worship them. And then just so that you don't offend any god, you've got this statue and it says, we dedicate this one to the unknown god so you don't offend the god that you might have missed. He's the one I want to speak to you about. The one you've missed. Aren't you glad, Christian, have we taken it for granted that we worship a God that's invisible? He's in heaven above. It's where we're going. He wrote us the book that we might know him in the meantime. We don't carve a totem pole and bow down and, oh, bless this and bless that, oh, great and mighty totem pole. And we laugh, but we shouldn't laugh. It's serious to people. It's so tragic. We were created to worship, my friend. God made us to worship. It's ominous because these people will not worship, but it is actually ominous too that we will stand and worship the eternal living God forever. John 4, 22 to 24, Jesus said, God the Father in heaven is seeking such to worship him that we are to worship him in spirit and in truth. Psalm 96, 9, the psalmist says, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. I'm not worshiping God if I want to be entertained. It's not for me. I'm not worshiping God if I want to be touched. It's not about me. I'm not worshiping God when I'm not dedicating my life. But if I am dedicating my life, it's all about him to be worshiped. My friend, it's all about Jesus Christ. John chapter 20, jot it down. You can look it up later. John 20, verses 26 to 29, it's Thomas. I love this about worship, and I love this about Thomas. We are to be worshiping God in spirit and in truth. That means we are to be worshiping God who's invisible, but with knowledge of him based upon the Bible. Thomas, remember this. This is after the crucifixion, after the resurrection. Jesus is now raised from the dead. Thomas, out of all the guys, is still doubting, remember? And he says, I'm not going to believe. Church, stop right there. Do you think Thomas wanted to believe? No, he wanted to believe. In fact, I think he was very upset that he didn't believe. That's why he was going through the gyrations that he was. I will not believe. You know what he's doing? He's kind of threatening God at a poker game of doubt. Basically, like a little kid, he's saying, I'm not going to believe. Please give me a reason to believe. I'm not going to believe unless I touch the holes in his hands and thrust my hand into his side. I will not believe, Thomas said. You know what he's saying? Please, God, I'm scared. Prove me wrong. I want to be wrong. Jesus shows up, by the way, and the Bible says that they were all gathered together, and without a window or a door being open, Jesus shows up. Can you imagine? Hey. They all freak. How do we know? He says, don't be afraid. Can you imagine? Whoa! Jesus, it says, is standing in the midst of them. And then he turns to Thomas. Thomas, oh, could you imagine? What? What is it? Thomas, yes. Reach out and touch the holes in my hands. Can you imagine? I wonder if he said, it's okay, Lord. It's all right. No, Thomas, do it. And put your hand in my side. Can you imagine? Jesus rose from the dead and he still had a hole in his side. Thomas obeyed Jesus, puts his fingers in the hole. Can you imagine? Ooh. Yikes. Here, Thomas. Can you imagine his hand going inside the robe? There's a cavity there. He falls on his knees and says, my Lord and my God. Amen. And Jesus says, you believe because you've seen. Blessed are those from this moment on whom never seeing me will believe. Look at you. Look at you and you and you and you and you. Isn't it awesome? You see, you're going to escape the second coming's disaster because you're coming with Christ down to earth, having believed in him. You'll be raptured before that event. My friend, we need to exercise our faith. We need to do it. We need to worship. Yes, it's ominous. Yes, but listen, we need to be faithful. We need to stop. Church, please, if you forget everything, don't forget this. Will you please get up and get going and stop being so careful? We're so careful about so much. We're so careful. You guys, have you ever been in negotiations with people? Like, have you ever been trying to buy something or you're selling something? Or I remember when we were in negotiations for this dirt, for this property. Did you know millionaires and billionaires, you know what they do when they argue with you over things, over deals? It comes down to this. Literally. You know, when they sold us this property, you didn't buy it by the acre. Did you know that? Happens to be 13 acres, just about 13 acres. We didn't buy it by the acre. You know how they sell land in California? By the square foot. So here's how the negotiations went. They said it's for sale for $7 a square foot. Yikes. Let's offer them five. The guy, literally, he said, what? Five? Five? The agent said, this is an insult. I said, just please present it to him. The agent didn't call me up. The owner called me up. He's asking seven. We offered five. The owner called up. And he spoke broken English. He's French. And all I could understand was the cuss words that were in English. And she'll yell, beep, 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 beep. Cussed me out. A month went by. He didn't sell the land. We offer like, you know, $5.67, 68, 69, pennies. They're ready to go to war over a penny. Then we settled, $6. Okay. $6 a square foot. That's the way the world thinks. And I'm going to tell you, you got to step out, exercise faith, no matter how silly something looks. If God's calling you, step out and do it. And church, if you're a Christian this morning, God is challenging you to step out in faith. I guarantee it. He's calling you to do it. Very quickly, and we'll end with this. Exercising faith, yes, but also verses 20 to 21, tragic. The rest were killed by the sword that proceeded from the mouth of Jesus who sat on the horse, and the birds were filled with their flesh. My friend, we were created to love and to be loved. This is not what God wants. And yet, man in his rebellion is rejecting Christ, rejecting the love of God. And the application is this. You guys, the reality is, as a Christian, I want to be loving. Who says that we should be? Jesus. He says to love one another. Church, we're almost done. I want you, if you're a Christian, watch this. I'm going to give you a little test right now. If you're a Christian, I'm going to have you raise your hand in a second. And when you raise your hand, I want those of you, all of us, Christian or not, I want you to look around with our hands raised. Are you ready? Now count the cost. Are you a Christian? Raise your hand if you're a Christian. Now keep your hand up. Look around, everyone. Just look around. Look to the left. Look to the right. Okay, put your hand down. All right, did you see all those hands up? Jesus says, by this the world will know that you know me, by your love for one another. Not an option. Not something to debate. You do it. That means you guys are going to be the cutest people right now leaving this parking lot. Oh, no, after you. No, after you. Do you want to back out? Go ahead, back out. Come on. Right? You're going to see each other. You know, you got a lot of you have the little stickers, the cross, or Jesus said, come after me. You'll see each other around town. Hi. Start saying hi. You won't break. Start there. You guys are wonderful. Listen, covertly, you guys are over the top. Amazing. If somebody's in need, you respond tremendously. But you know what I'm finding out more and more? When we're standing around at stores and stuff, it happened yesterday. I was at a counter, and the girl was taking care of my transaction. The owner of the store walked by and said, hi, Pastor Jack, how are you? The owner, the employee, she goes to the church too. Oh, I go to the church. You go to the church? I go to the church. Well, I know you're the pastor. Yeah, but who are you? Hi, nice to meet you. And the owner, he goes to the church. Yeah, yeah. Come to find out, we go to the church. We do. Wow. Start saying hi. You see somebody with their thumb up because their car is broken down? What would Jesus do? Pull over. Hey, I saw you have a Jesus sticker on your car. By the way, free towing and free pickup. Get a sticker on your car. Think about it. Did you get that or was... Forget AAA. Put Jesus said come after me or put the cross sticker or the sunburn... That... Put this on your car. The sticker. We've got a bunch of stickers. When you break down, people will pull over and say, I saw your car's a Christian. Can I help your car? Can I help you? Love one another. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the events that are before us are gruesome. We also thank you, Lord God, that your Bible makes it very clear that for the Christian, we'll have no part of this other than come with you in the great second coming.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Jesus Christ is Coming Again. So glad you could take the time to be with us today. Jesus Christ is Coming Again is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, you might feel like you're caught in a trap and temptation is waiting for you, right? Or perhaps old habits, newly disguised and repackaged, are catching you off guard. This month's Book of the Month is specifically designed to help you. It's called Temptation, The Battle of Your Life. It's written by our very own Jack Hibbs. It's a very practical book that offers us a very powerful and effective defense against these attacks. So don't let temptation trip you up ever again. The Lord has promised us that He will not lead us into temptation, but He's going to deliver us from the evil one.
It's one of the hallmarks of evidence that you are a true believer is that you now recognize temptation. So this book will walk you through some of the subtleties of our enemy.
The book Temptation is yours for a gift of any amount. It's available right now at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. here on Real Life Radio.